Hello, welcome to the Alligator Podcast, where we talk about all things at the University of Florida, Gainesville, and beyond. I'm your host, Brian Hernandez, and here is your weekly roundup. House Bill 7, also coined as the Stop Woke Act by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, went into effect in July. The law, which serves as an expansion on Florida Statute Section 760.10, now includes language that prohibits certain material from being taught at universities in the Florida State University system. Florida State University, University of Central Florida, and University of Florida are among the schools that may be affected by this new law. With more, we talked to Alligator staff writer Peyton Harris.
So basically what this legislation blocks is 8 concepts that cannot be taught in public colleges in Florida. I'm not going to read all of them, but some of them include the idea that some people are inherently oppressed or oppressive based on their race or sex or other identity. Another one could be that someone of a certain race or identity should bear responsibility for or feel any sort of anguish because of what something they had nothing to do with. So that would be referring to things like slavery or genocide of any kind. And then as far as the private employer part, it also blocks private employers from subjecting their employees to any sort of diversity training as a mandated requirement. But that was actually just struck down by a Florida judge.
According to U of History professor Jeffrey Adler, the university administration has not been transparent with faculty on how complaints will be handled and what constitutes a violation. He worries now the law will become a political weapon.
So the process for filing a violation of the law can be found on the Chief Diversity Officer's website. Essentially, it's just a form that requires your UFID and other identifying information. It requires a description of the event or series of events. It also requires witnesses and possible resolutions the university can take.
Since its adoption, student and faculty at UF have expressed concerns over the law.
So the concerns that arise from students and faculty that I found are ones centered around the concept of academic freedom. Faculty in particular are very worried about where is this line drawn between discussion of uncomfortable topics and indoctrination, especially when presenting certain course material as kind of a reference and diversifying viewpoints. I think they're definitely worried about presenting critical race theory as a potential material and then that being taken out of context by students as an accusation of a violation. And then on the student side, they're concerned about not getting a full worldly perspective by being unable to access certain materials because of the increased cautiousness by professors.
Currently, the Board of Governors is adopting guidelines in regard to HB 7's application across the university system, which UF will adopt when it's completed. For more on Peyton's story, head to our website. On Wednesday, President Joe Biden announced relief provisions for those with student loan debt from the U.S. Department of Education. If the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't block it, the loan forgiveness plan will reduce or erase the debt up to 43 million Americans, including select UF graduates. With more about the potential Supreme Court challenge, we talked to Alligator staff writer Heather Bushman.
So Biden's plan doesn't take effect until October, when those who took out student loans can begin applying to the program to be relieved of some of their debt. And in the meantime, the Supreme Court can always take a look at the case and decide whether it's in line with the Constitution or in line with the powers that the Constitution allots the president. So if they strike it down, it'll likely be on the basis of the president overextending executive powers and reaching into areas that really, I guess, aren't his to reach in. So that's always a possibility if the provisions are overbroad or over vague or just violate the distinct powers of the president as outlined in the Constitution or violate any acts that were passed in, you know, previous years regarding student loan debt, then they can always strike it down and say it can't take effect. Another option is following, you know, November's general election. If the U.S. House is flipped to a Republican majority, that body may very well take out a lawsuit against the plan and against the executive office if they find that plan to be unlawful or unconstitutional. It's a little tricky because Biden's plan is an executive action. It's not really legislative. It wasn't codified by Congress or anything. So there is a possibility that Congress, or at least the U.S. House, could find unlawfulness about it, and they could take out some legal action of their own. So both of those things are possibilities of the plan getting stricken down and being nullified essentially and not being able to take effect.
Borrowers who make less than $125,000 annually can receive up to $10,000 in loan forgiveness. Those who make less than $125,000 and receive aid through a Pell Grant can receive up to $20,000. Originally implemented at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, Biden also announced an extension to the loan payment freeze. Now, the freeze, which pauses required student loan payments nationwide, will be extended until the end of the year. According to the U.S. Department of Education, Biden's plan released some UF alumni around 15%.
So, UF students, on average, of those who graduate with debt, graduate with around $15,000 in debt. And 15% of UF students take out student loans, according to the Department of Education. So, the way those numbers line up, especially considering that on average, UF students make around $64,000, a good bit of UF students could see some of their debt cleared. This will likely have a large effect on not just the nation, but UF in particular, just the way the numbers line up, will probably be affected in a significant way.
Under the new program, borrowers will only have to pay a minimum of 5% of their monthly discretionary income toward their student loans, a deduction which slashes the minimum of most debt plans in half, according to the White House fact sheets on student loans. For Heather's full article, visit our website at alligator.org. Gators volleyball began their season last weekend as they hosted and defeated the North Florida Ospreys, East Tennessee State Buccaneers, and Virginia Cavaliers for the Gator Invitational. The 15th nationally ranked Gators beat both the Ospreys and Buccaneers 3-1 after dropping the first set and swept the Cavaliers to cap off the weekend. This is the 25th time in program history that UF has started the season with a 3-0 record. Sophomore outside hitter Merritt Beeson grabbed a career-high 17 kills in Saturday's afternoon match against the Bucks, leading UF's offensive attack. Freshman setter Alexis Stuckey enabled the offense to run smoothly throughout the weekend, while averaging 33 assists per match. UF's next match will be at the Stephen O'Connell Center, hosting Stanford Tuesday at 7 p.m. For the full details of the Gators' weekend, visit our website in the sports section. Thank you for joining us for this episode. I'm Brandon Hernandez, and this was the weekly roundup on the Alligator Podcast.